G'day all. Welcome to another episode of Strange Days. See you in about 4 minutes. I am many things to many men. I am the Grand Master of the Lodge. You know what I mean? I am the Grand Master of the United Lodge of Australia. A 44th degree Mason, no doubt about me. Hey, check this story out. This Russian grandmother found something shocking in the woods, man. She found this baby in the woods. Listen to this story.
Creature and simply from her modest home. In the late 1990s, the tranquil isolation of Kalinovy, a small remote village in Russia, was abruptly shattered by an event that would catapult it into the international spotlight. This event centered around the discovery of a creature so bizarre and unexplainable that it challenged the boundaries of known science and ignited a storm of speculation, debate, and mystery that continues to this day. This creature, later known as Alyoshenka, became the focal point of a narrative that blends the eerie with the inexplicable. The story begins with Tamara Prozvirina, a 74-year-old woman known among the villagers for her eccentricities and a history of psychiatric issues. One night, Tamara set out from her modest home towards the woods. Her objective was straightforward: to draw water from the well at the forest's edge, a task she had performed countless times before. But this evening was different. As she approached the well, Tamara heard what sounded like the faint cries of a baby. After a short search, she found the source of the sound in a small clearing. But this was no ordinary baby. It was something else entirely. The creature was small, perhaps the size of a newborn, with strange dark gray skin. Its eyes were also seemingly different than those of normal humans. The elderly woman brought the being back to her house, intending to look after it. Her psychiatric condition likely led her to perceive it as an ordinary infant abandoned in the forest. She even gave it a name, calling it Alyoshenka, meaning little Alexei, most likely after her own son, whose name was also Alexei. Her son was in prison for theft, so he didn't know anything about the series of events that were unfolding. It was her daughter-in-law, whose name is also Tamara, who first saw the humanoid. The old lady called her daughter-in-law and told her that she had found a baby in the woods. When her daughter-in-law visited her, she was shocked, as the creature didn't look human at all. Described as making squeaky noises, squeak, it had a squeak. Mouth resembling a small tube with a tiny, squeak. Moving red tongue squeak. And two discolored teeth. Despite its baby-like appearance, the creature had distinctive features, a brown head and gray body, lacking both eyelids and genitals, with an onion-shaped head. Its eyes, with pupils as wild as a cat's.
Oh, that's not me, man. That's a documentary I'm playing. K-O-Metrics. Yeah, man. I don't know who Chris Fade is, to be honest with you.
Seemed to glow in the dark, and it had unusually long fingers. Yet, Tamara's daughter-in-law didn't contact authorities, as she didn't want to contradict the old lady and have her baby taken away, as she was sick. And this creature, although not her real baby, was giving her great joy.
She's happy, guys. Leave her alone. Let her raise the alien. Let her raise the alien. The problem is, she was probably giving it the wrong food. If it's from the inner earth aliens, they just like to eat mung beans and beans and those sort of things. That's about all their diet consists of. But she might have been giving it too much of a Western society dietary, you know what I mean?
Over the following days, the old woman nourished Alyoshenka with milk and caramel candies. Meanwhile, neighbors observed Tamara through her window, tending to what appeared to be a baby. They also saw her strolling down the street, cradling something wrapped in a blanket and conversing with it. She insisted to those around her that she was carrying her baby, Alyoshenka, but she never revealed what was under the blanket. Some of the witnesses, however, managed to get a glimpse at the creature and described it as a humanoid, approximately 20 to 25 centimeters, about 8 to 10 inches tall. Its head, oddly shaped like an onion, bore no resemblance to a human head. The majority of the locals didn't see the creature and simply thought Tamara's psychiatric condition was getting worse. and she had lost her sanity completely. They assumed she was talking to a toy and imagining it as her son. One day, Tamara started to bang on the doors of her neighbors, asking them for medicine for her baby. Of course, everyone thought she was going insane and contacted authorities. Tamara was eventually taken to a psychiatric clinic for evaluation and treatment. At the clinic, she was diagnosed with numerous psychiatric disorders, including schizophrenia. She was admitted for care against her will. Her hospitalization marked a turning point in the Alyoshenka incident. Repeatedly, Tamara tearfully implored the clinic staff, insisting she had a baby who needed her care, warning that without her, the baby would perish. However, given her age of 74 and known psychiatric conditions, the staff found it implausible that she could have a newborn, dismissing them as delusions stemming from her mental health condition. Consequently, they dismissed her claims, paying no heed to her distress. While she was in the psychiatric clinic, the creature she referred to as Alyoshenka died of starvation, as there was no one to care for him. Following its death, the body of Alyoshenka was discovered by Tamara's relatives, who were too late and found just the body of the creature. They contacted the authorities, and the body was taken by a local investigator named Vladimir Bendlin. He covered the body with a blanket and moved it to a compact facility, where he stored it in a refrigerator with the intention of later handing it over to scientists for analysis. There are conflicting reports regarding the scientific analysis of the body. A local pathologist said that the body wasn't human, while a genealogist claimed that it was just a child with terrible deformations. Nevertheless, the story gained wide popularity. In fact, the Japanese media outlets were very fascinated by the story and saw it as an opportunity to explore a potential extraterrestrial event. A Japanese TV crew traveled to Russia to document the case, interview locals, and investigate the circumstances surrounding the discovery of Alyoshenka. They wanted to start with Tamara Prozvorina, the old lady who initially discovered the humanoid. Unfortunately, Tamara died in an accident in 1999 while she was trying to flee from the psychiatric clinic. Locals reported that she was seen dancing on the highway moments before being hit by a truck. Japanese researchers and scientists expressed interest in studying the remains of Alyoshenka to determine its origins, whether it was an alien, an unknown creature, or a human with abnormalities. They even offered $200,000 for the body. Bendlin handed over the corpse to Boris Zolotov, a renowned Russian scientist, in the hopes of getting some information on the true nature of the creature. After some time, it turned out that the body was lost, leaving the mystery unsolved. Boris Zolotov narrated an odd tale, claiming the body was seized from the scientist that transported it, following a UFO sighting on the road.
Его везли группа обнаружения, то появились, как говорится, неопознанный летающий объект. И они забрали сущностную основу прямо по дороге.
He was reticent, providing scant details and declining subsequent interviews. There is widespread speculation that Zolotov was pressured into recounting this narrative, with suspicions that the KGB secret services were the ones that actually took possession of the corpse. Some believe that the body was studied by secret military or scientific establishments in Russia, aiming to uncover its origins and potential technological or biological advancements. It seemed that all traces were lost. But then, Vladimir Bendlin, dissatisfied with the lack of explanation about the creature's origin, recalled that he still possessed the blanket that had enveloped the humanoid ever since Tamara discovered it in the woods. In collaboration with a Russian journalist, Vadim Chernobrov, they transported the cloth to Moscow for testing, believing it likely retained DNA from the creature. After 2 weeks, The Moscow laboratory announced their findings, identifying two distinct DNA profiles. One was conclusively matched to Tamara, the woman who discovered the creature. The second DNA sample, however, was exceptionally peculiar. It did not correspond to any known biological entity, leading to astonishing implications. This finding raised the question, could Alyoshenka truly be an extraterrestrial entity that arrived on Earth? In the years following the discovery of Alyoshenka, the village of Kaolinovy and the surrounding area became a hotspot for UFO enthusiasts and researchers. People from around the world visited the site, drawn by the mystery and the possibility of discovering new evidence related to extraterrestrial life. An investigation group called Cosmoposk, or Space Search, dedicated a number of expeditions to the area in 2002. They engaged extensively with the local people, who, curiously, told them an interesting legend about the place.
There you go, puppy.
Although they expected some information regarding extraterrestrials, the locals actually shared a folklore tale known for generations about a mysterious dwarf race of humanoid beings. According to the story, these little people dwelled in caverns beneath the forest where Alyoshenka was discovered. This same team revisited the site in 2015 and erected a monument in honor of Alyoshenka. To this day, it's still unknown whether the humanoid being was an extraterrestrial or if it belonged to an unknown race of small humanoids living in caverns in the remote forests of Siberia. Scientifically, the Alyoshenka case has been met with skepticism, which led to a third theory about the origin of the creature, one much more grounded in the harsh reality and the ecological conditions of the region. Some researchers suggest that the creature was likely a human fetus with severe deformities, possibly resulting from prenatal exposure to radiation, given the history of nuclear accidents in the Chelyabinsk region. Nearly three decades prior to the notorious Chernobyl disaster, a significant nuclear incident unfolded on September 29, 1957, at the Mayak Chemical Combine, close to Kishtym, the town where Alyoshenka was discovered. A malfunction in the cooling system of a waste storage tank caused temperature and pressure levels to surge, culminating in an explosion. This event resulted in the release of a substantial quantity of radioactive material into the atmosphere. This was the biggest nuclear disaster before Chernobyl, and just like with the Chernobyl disaster, the Soviet authorities tried to keep the accident a secret. And they did that successfully for almost four decades. The radioactive cloud spread over an area of approximately 20,000 square kilometers, or 13,000 square miles, affecting hundreds of thousands of people living in the region. The delay in evacuating nearby areas resulted in prolonged exposure to high radiation levels for the local population. The area most affected by the radiation was later named the East Urals Radioactive Trace, which became one of the most contaminated regions in the world. The exact number of casualties remains unclear, but it is estimated that the incident directly caused the death of hundreds of people due to acute radiation sickness in the immediate aftermath and long-term health effects like cancer in the years following. It is within this context that the theory of Alyoshenka being a human fetus with severe deformities gained plausibility. Radiation is known to cause mutations in DNA, leading to developmental anomalies in fetuses exposed in utero. These anomalies can manifest as physical deformities, some of which might align with the descriptions of Alyoshenka.
Now, this is a different event, but it goes into a Russian grandma found something shocking. It was a 25-centimeter baby in the woods that had like a head, like its head was more like onion sort of shaped, and it was really weird looking, little mouth, and it used to do certain noises. Yeah, it was pretty freaky, documented and everything. Yeah, welcome, Maven. Welcome, Sue.
small size, underdeveloped limbs, and disproportionate head size. The description of Alyoshenka's skin as grayish and the absence of hair could be attributed to postmortem changes or congenital skin conditions. Many believe that although Tamara was talking to the body and carrying it around, it was actually dead when she found it. Some even believe she unearthed the body from the cemetery. The witness reports are very contradicting, and the entire story is one great mystery. In the absence of comprehensive medical examination and DNA testing, the true nature of Alyoshenka's physical appearance...
You think about the size of it, though. It's only like 20 centimeters. I mean, that's... I don't even think if a Premier would be nearly close to that, that could survive, you know? But this thing was apparently making noises and everything. Yeah, it was. She was feeding it and all sorts of crazy stuff. You know, it's quite possible it could have been some sort of defect that someone had just thrown in the woods. I mean, that's probably one thesis, I guess.
...remains open to interpretation. Tell us what you think in the comments below. Do you believe Alyoshenka was an extraterrestrial being? Or was this the body of an ill-fated child born with defects caused by radiation? If you're interested in more incredible stories... You can watch our documentary on the Voronezh incident, which is one of the most famous UFO sightings and extraterrestrial encounters in Soviet history. The link is in the top pinned comment.
Yeah, that's a bit of a trip, that one. Bloody hell.
Have you ever asked yourself how many myths are actual facts? Here's a series of pictures looking into our petrified past. Many theorize that the floods took the Titans out, but from my research, it looks more like a catastrophic plasma event took them out, which would have petrified them, considering they were a silica-based life form, and then shortly after that, a flood would happen to cool down the Earth. When you realize what you are looking at, it's so obvious. These titans are the fathers of the Nephilim, the demigods, the men of fame in Genesis. Their fathers are the basis of the stories of the gods, of not only the Greeks, but also ancient Egyptians, Babylonians, Romans, and many more. The titans were disobedient, rebellious angels perpetrated as gods that had abandoned heaven and continuously transformed into human form, having relations with women who bore them the Nephilim. I question the Nephilim all drowned in the flood, but their fathers supposedly were imprisoned within the atmosphere of the Earth, within the spirit realm, and since then they've been called devil and demons and even ghosts. Look at these giant trees that have been cut down. Who would have been that large and strong enough to cut them down? Please like and share your thoughts and blessings.
There is a location in the western Sahara Desert of Mauritania called the Risha structure. It's also commonly referred to as the Eye of the Sahara.
Welcome, Robert.
And what's so spectacular about this is that it just so happens to match what Plato had described the lost ancient city of Atlantis. Plato has described Atlantis as made up of concentric circles. Three of water, two of land, which matches the Ricci structure. It also was said to have an opening to the sea at the south, and if you look at it from satellite imagery, you can clearly see that water had run through it. And what people don't realize is that Sahara, Africa, up until about 4,500 to 5,000 years ago, was totally green. It was tropical. It had one of the largest networks of rivers ever known to exist. It was said to have mountains to the north. And you just so happen to have called the Atlas mountain chain.
Wow.
But it goes further than that. It turns out that the Sahara Desert is one of the least studied places on Earth. There's so much that points to that possibly being Atlantis. What do you think? Follow us to find out.
Yeah, well, what was it, Plato? He talked about through the pillars of Hercules, there was Atlantis.
Business dealings. Rockefeller made sure to get the better end of the...
Let's go into our educational system for a little bit. Let's delve into this sort of aspect. Where did it actually come from? Anyone think much about it? What actually formed it? What the structure and all these other aspects? We'll try and go back a little while back and see if we can connect some dots here.
Argan. He would donate his great wealth to the creation of public institutions as to get the better end of the bargain. He would donate his great wealth to the creation of public institutions, but those institutions would be used to bend society to his will. As every would-be ruler throughout history has realized, society has to be transformed from the ground up. Americans in the 19th century still prized education and intellectual pursuits, with the 1840 census finding unsurprisingly that the United States, a nation that had been mobilized by tracts like Thomas Paine's remarkably popular Common Sense, was a nation of readers, with a remarkable 93% to 100% literacy rate. Before the first compulsory schooling laws in Massachusetts in 1852, education was private and decentralized, and as a result, classical education, including study of Greek and Latin and a solid grounding in history and science, was widespread. But a nation of individuals who could think for themselves was anathema to the monopolists. The oligarchs needed a mass of obedient workers, an entire class of people whose intellect was developed just enough to prepare them for lives of drudgery in a factory. Into the midst stepped John D. Rockefeller with his first great act of public charity, the establishment of the University of Chicago. He was aided in this task by Frederick Taylor Gates, a Baptist minister that Rockefeller befriended in 1889, and who would go on to be John D.'s most trusted philanthropic advisor. Gates would go on to write a short tract, The Country School of Tomorrow, that laid out the Rockefeller plan for education. In our dream, we have limitless resources, and the people yield themselves with perfect docility to our molding hand. The present educational conventions fade from our minds, and, unhampered by tradition, we work our own goodwill upon a grateful and responsive folk. We shall not try to make these people or any of their children into philosophers or men of learning or science. We are not to raise up from among them authors, orators, poets, or men of letters. We shall not search for embryo great artists, painters, musicians, nor will we cherish even the humbler ambition to raise up from among them lawyers, doctors, preachers, politicians, statesmen, of whom we now have ample supply. Although Rockefeller's resources weren't exactly limitless, they might as well have been. In 1902, he established the General Education Board to help implement Gates's vision for the country school of tomorrow with a staggering $180 million endowment. The Rockefeller influence on education was felt almost immediately, and it was amplified by help from fellow monopolists of the era who were approaching the topic of philanthropy from the same angle. Although best known as a steel magnate, Andrew Carnegie's fortune started on the railroads transporting Rockefeller's Standard Oil around the country, and was greatly magnified by a lucrative investment in property near Oil Creek that provided steady, profitable oil sales. In 1905, he established the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching, a tax-free foundation through which Carnegie and his appointees could direct the development of the education system in the United States and, eventually, worldwide. In 1910, Rockefeller followed suit by establishing the Rockefeller Foundation, which became the tax-free umbrella organization for his philanthropic ambitions. As the Reese Committee, a congressional investigation into the activities of these tax-free foundations in the 1950s, discovered, it wasn't long before Carnegie's endowment approached Rockefeller's foundation with a proposal to cooperate on their shared desire to transform the American education system in their own image. Norman Dodd, the director of research for the congressional committee who was granted access to the Carnegie Endowment's board minutes, explains.
So they approach the Rockefeller Foundation with a suggestion that portion of education which is could be considered domestic be handled by the Rockefeller Foundation, and that portion which is international should be handled by the endowment. And they then decide that the key to the success of these two operations lay in an alteration of the teaching of American history. So they approach four of the then most prominent teachers of American history in the country, people like Charles and Mary Byrd, and their suggestion to them is, will they alter the manner in which they present this subject, and they get turned down flat. So they then decide that it is necessary for them to do, as they say, build our own stable of historians. And then they approach the Guggenheim Foundation, which specializes in fellowships, and say, when we find young men in the process of studying for doctorates in the field of American history, and we feel that they are the right caliber, will you grant them fellowships?
Welcome, Hattie.
I say so.
Good to see you.
And the answer is yes. So under that condition, eventually they assemble 20.
Welcome in, Kate.
And they take this 20 potential teachers of American history to London, and there they're briefed what is expected of them when, as and if, they secure appointments in keeping with the doctorates they will have earned. And that group of 20 historians ultimately becomes the nucleus of the American Historical Association. And then toward the end of the 1920s, the endowment grants to the American Historical Association $400,000 for a study of our history in a manner which points to what can this country be, can it look forward to in the future. And that culminates in a 7-volume study, the last volume of which is, of course, in essence, a summary of the contents of the other 6. And the essence of the last volume is the future of this country belongs to collectivism administered with characteristic American efficiency.
All right, so what I'm going to do, I'm just going to, I'm going to have a 4-minute break, and if anyone would like to call in, you're most welcome to call in. I'd love to hear how your adventures went, Sue. I hear you're back home. That's good, 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 good. Good to see you back home safe. And, yeah, we'll just have a quick break for a 4-minute break. And, yeah, if anyone would like to call in, they're most welcome. If not, I'll just got a few little other things to get through here and there. And, yeah, just come in, put yourself on mute, and I'm just trying to load this up for my little break. Yeah, when you come in, anyone like to come in, just, yeah, put yourselves on mute, and we'll catch us in about 4 minutes. Welcome, Sue. I'll be back in a sec. I needed that break, bloody hell. Just really revives you, you know. Gets you back into perspective. How you going, Auntie Sue? Good to see you.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just getting ready to go to work, love. Okay. I'm going to hairdressers and then going to work. Just wanted to say hi to you quick. Interesting what you're talking about this morning, love. So I'll listen on the way to work, if that's all right.
Yeah, go for it. Okay, then. I'll catch up with you another time. I'd love to hear how your trip went. It's good to see you back home, so that's good.
Yeah. Still like I'm hungover, but I know I'm not. But yeah, it was a good trip. Yeah, it was good. Thank you.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes from jet lag and that sort of stuff as well.
I don't get jet lag for Spain, do I? Or is it only 2.5 hour flight?
Is it? Oh, yeah, it's not that bad.
Yeah, it's only 2.5 hours. Yeah. But no, it's just like you're out of your routine and so you come back and straighten it and think, oh, for God's sake.
I don't straight back into it. You at least need a couple of day break. Yeah, I used to hate that on holidays when I'd come back and I'd be back to work virtually the next day. It's like, just give me a day or two just to freaking, you know, get my head back into working.
Exactly. All right. Yeah, no, you just earn that money back again, wasn't you, that you've just spent. Anyway, lovely to talk to you. I'll catch up with you later. I'll carry on listening.
I'll catch you later, sir.
All right, babes.
All right, let's get back into a bit of Strange Day stuff. Yeah, it's fascinating when you start realizing about the Common Core curriculum and all that and all the ties, man. Like, I often wonder when I look back, just how dumbed down we are. Like, even the writing now of most children, it's absolutely appalling. My daughter's handwriting's not too bad. My boys are pretty rough as guts. But compared to my generation, even to see theirs now, there's no real comparison. It's kind of sad to see that these things have been taken away from us or just not developed. There's nothing nicer than to write, you know, like, say, your mother on Mother's Day, a nice card with some really nice handwriting. And then to just have scribble or to receive a card, you know, even though it's from the heart, I know that doesn't matter that much. But it's just nice to articulate yourself. It's a bit like, to me, handwriting's like a work of art, you know. And I always take, if I'm to write a card or something, it's never blasé or a letter. It's always, I try to do my utmost best and to write. My handwriting's not too bad, actually, so I'm not. It's really weird, though, because some days I'll write differently. I write bigger letters, big different style. To other days, I'll be more vertical and sharp edges on the W. Sometimes I'll be rounded on W's and, you know, that sort of stuff. But that's me in life, you know. That's why I find it hard to keep up with sports and stuff in life, because I'm not predictable, or podcasting, to keep a regular routine. Because I'm a daily person. I've always been like it. I'm very hard to commit to something. apart from the regular routines of work, I guess, where I can just get up in my 9 to 5 and get home. But after that, when it comes to pleasure like sports or guitar or, you know, even when I chill out with the boys or something like that, you know, or even come on Podbean, like, I don't even know if tomorrow I'd be on, if I really could be bothered or just not in the mood or, yeah, it's just really weird. I don't know how many other people are. It'd be interesting to do a study on that. Unpredictability or not knowing, you know. It was like, oh, I'd like to go to soccer training tonight, but on another night I might not. Or maybe that night next week I just don't. But I'd like to do it the night after. You know, that sort of stuff. Really weird stuff, man. All right, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to go through a few little things about garlic, and I might go into a little bit of alternative medias, alternative products or things you might not know about certain foods that can help you out. I should probably do the, I should probably do this one, yeah. Right, anyway, I'll give you a taste of what's coming up. Pardon the pun. Garlic. can't find me damn eye dog. Here she is. The National Library of Medicine contains 4,525 study abstracts on garlic, which show that it is successfully treats more than 150 chronic diseases. It effectively protects against pathogenic bacteria, viruses, parasites, antibiotic resistant MRSA and yeast infections, which is good if you've got a candida, I guess, if you can get garlic into your mouth. It can be quite annoying if you've ever come across yeast infections in the mouth, like burning of the tongue and things like that. I remember my grandfather had it, but he was on a book called Fit for Life, and I think he was actually making it worse for him. Health-wise, yeah, but not for his candida because of the sugar levels in it, which would be another possibility of, I'd stay away from a lot of things to help cure that if it gets a bit toxic in your system, you know, stick more to, like, I guess, celeries, beetroots, root vegetables more than, like, fruits. And it might help, I'd gather, if it's what they're feeding on. When ingested, allicin turns into salt. It's called sulfenic acid, with an E, sulfenic, which is the fastest acting free radical eliminator. So it's an amazing thing. It's unfortunately, it's not so social, you know, when you have it. I don't like to have a shitload of garlic, but I'll tell you a good way to get it into you is when you do a roast, put some garlic all around it. And you'd be surprised, they actually taste more like little potatoes than raw garlic. It's quite nice, actually, around a roast, and it tastes good with a roast. Yeah, so, yeah, there's ways you can get it in. That's one of the best, you know. If you can't, I mean, I'll sit there and eat freaking nearly a dozen of them, you know. So imagine the benefits of that, where if I had a raw garlic, I'd be lucky to get through one without freaking cringing and having tantrums and all these other things, you know. So that's something I'm going to have coming up very soon. There's a good way to actually clean silver. I'm trying to see. All right. The guy shows you in this video. So what you do, if you've got a tainted silver cutlery, and this is not even scrubbing or anything, all right, what you do, and it's not all that hard to do, you can just place it in, and in no time you'll be surprised how quick it cleans them right up. It's perfect. How to clean it? Now, I'll just go down here. All right. What you do, you get a stainless steel bowl, all right, and like a cooking one that you do a roast, I guess, in something like that. And then you line the biggest stainless steel pot with aluminium foil with the shiny side up. Now, I'm not sure the properties and why this is important to do it that way. But they do see with the shiny side up. So just want to specify that. If I can remember, I'll put it actually in the broadcast after it in the notes, in the what's he thing. That might be good actually. I'll put the whole ingredient for any people that want to go through it, so you don't have to try and. But it's not that hard. So just think about it. I'll just go through it. So shut up. So anyway, so you put the foil in shiny side up, put knives on bottom, spoons scattered next, then scattered forks on top, whatever the frick it means. 7 tablespoons of baking, so here's the main ingredient, 7 tablespoons of baking soda sprinkled on top, 7 tablespoons of salt sprinkled on top as well. So you've got baking soda, salt. Cover with boiling hot water, and flatware should be submersed. Good pot lid, I say. Yeah, as long as it's submersed, obviously. Let it sit for 2 to 3 hours. Hand wash, soap, and dry. Done. Okay. So they're pretty much saying baking soda and salt. And there's something about the tin foil up. Whatever the hell that's all about. Wow. But this guy, I don't know what he's using. I wouldn't be surprised if white vinegar would help as well, you know. Just a couple of, half a glass of that in that sort of a mixture would probably. But this guy's literally putting them in and taking them straight out, like within, I think, 24 seconds. So that's a good way to do it. There is another good way. I think they do it with cars as well. If you dip the rag in, you can polish up your scratched chrome on your cars. I've got a thing on here. I don't know where it is, though. That's the problem.
Do people know about this covert website, which lists now, locations you should...
This is interesting. There's a website you can go to get fresh water, all right? Ever listen to this?
Definitely check out if you're in the area. This connects to your brain in a very strange way. Wait until you hear this. A 2% decrease in brain hydration can cause brain fog, memory issues, mental problems. You guys are mentally problematic if you don't have enough water. Get this. 2% decrease, short-term memory loss, math, computations. If you just have a little bit, not enough water, your brain starts to shrink. And look at this. If it goes any longer, prolonged dehydration causes brain cell to shrink in size and mass. The best way to tell where you're at in terms of hydration is the color of your urine. It's an amazing, gives you signals as to what's going on. So you should be in this range here. If your urine is this dark, you got a real issue. You're quite dehydrated. But you can also overdose on water. If it's super clear at the top there, then you're drinking too much. You should simmer down a little bit. Ideally, it's in this range. So this website, findaspring.org, will tell you where springs are in your area. You live in New York and you're not going to one of these damn springs? What the heck are you drinking? Tap water? I hope not. What's wrong with Clifton? Check out this spring. They got reviews on them. People leave reviews, water samples, water tests. So they're clean, pure, clear, under control. And look at this. You're in California, and you don't know about the San Bernardino above there. There's a couple springs.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that. It doesn't get much longer. Yeah, so there you go. There you go. Findaspring.com. Finder, like find, F-I-N-D-A, spring.com. I'm not sure if it does it for around the world. I'd gather it would do. It'd be like find a, you know, Wi-Fi tower or something like that. They've got all those sort of things that go worldwide. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. So
people ask you, where does black seed oil come
all right, from? I'm just going to skip a few things here. I've got one of them here that's incredible. Now, I'm quite happy to read it out on my health show on that. But it's a 101 black seed oil benefits, cures everything except death. It's the more I hear about it, the more I'm very impressed with black seed oil, guys. But I don't want to go into that. I don't want to go into that. I don't want to go into that because this is all getting onto gum disease.
To deal with gingivitis, gum disease.
Yeah, see, I'm going to deal with stuff like that, gingivitis. All right, how to get rid of parasites. Yeah, I might actually do this show later, I think, and just do it in one hit. Otherwise, I'm going to ruin the vibe of this. And
this is the biggest secret.
Yeah, dentist stuff. Yeah, I've just got a shitload of it, actually. Yeah, it just keeps going on and on.
Everyone, I've
avocados every day. Yes, as you can see what's coming up.
A mini goat as a pet. Here are the three.
Have a listen to this. Never thought of a mini goat as a pet, guys. Have a listen to this.
Best mini goat breeds. Number three, Nigerian dwarf. These little goats are as charming as they are versatile. Perfectly sized for a
cub. Oh, they're so
their
cute.
Colorful coats and like friendly personalities like brighten up any home, making them a fantastic choice for a family pet. Number two, mini alpine. These goats carry a certain elegance and charm that is hard to resist. Adaptability is their strong suit, comfortably fitting into various living situations, and their laid-back nature allows for easy bonding and interaction with their owners. Number one, pygmy goat. Their friendly demeanor and irresistible charm make them fantastic companions. Pygmy goats easily win people over with their warm personalities and affectionate nature, ensuring that every day is filled with joy and laughter. Which of these adorable mini goat breeds has captured your heart and is likely to be your next pet?
Oh, I'll have to send that to Sue later. Oh, you'll love that little video. Actually, let me do it now before I forget. Where is she? She's up here. There you go. Done. Sending that on the way. Check that out, Sue. Oh, well, I should send the shelves as well. No, I don't know. I can't go back. Oh, yeah. Now I've lost it. Oh, yeah. Let's screw that up. All right. I'm going to go into my other folder because I'm not sure what I've got in there. Saved. Okay. Yeah, we talked about this bird earlier. I'm thinking about getting a parrot. Yeah, you're welcome to see. Yeah, they're adorable. Oh, wow. I want one, man. They're far out. So cute. I don't like big goats, though. They freak me out. It's like their eyes, man. They're almost human, man. It's like you can see into their soul. It's freaks. And literally, especially when you got the buck ones. Man, when you stare at this big buck goat, man, they're like, it's almost satanic, you know what I mean? Yeah, they are. They're adorable. But this is the I was talking to someone earlier. I don't know if you were in the room, Sue, about parrots, and I think you weren't there. Because Mia, I think her name was, she was in Russell's show just earlier. I don't think you were there, actually. Anyway, so I'm thinking about getting parrots, and this is the breed that she suggested. If I can, I think I should be able to post in there. Yeah, of course I should be able to. Here you go. Have a look at this breed. It's called a pineapple. I forget the name of it, actually. Pineapple. I've got it back in the thing anyway. I'll be able to check it out. And they only get to about 25 centimeters. Yeah, so they're not a big parrot. They're like a lorikeet, probably more. Yeah, they sort of class them, I think, between a cockatiel, lorikeet. Yeah, they're a bit of a different breed, but they're not very big, which is great. And they're one of the best talkers. So I could teach it Little Billy Bastard and all sorts of crazy stuff. Hey, wouldn't that be hilarious? You know? I don't want to talk about it. Don't want to talk about it. I'll say, here you go, mate. Don't want to talk about it. He's just like, don't want to talk about it. That'd be a good one. Hey, look, my bird talks, but it doesn't want to talk about it. Hey, bird, can you talk? I want to talk about it. I think that'd be great company for me, Sue. I'm really, really. Oh, I'm looking it up, man. I'll be ordering one the next freaking week, man. I'm telling you now. Yeah. That would be cool. That'd be perfect pet because I want to get another dog. I missed my border collie, you know. Well, I've always had border collies, and but I just tried to do something with my underlay like yesterday, and now my back's screwed. So I'm probably going to be nearly crippled for the next 3 days, and it pisses me off. I get good and I do stuff, and man, it's so frustrating. And so I'm thinking, damn, I want something. And it'd be great because I wouldn't have to go on Podbeam so much to talk to people. I could talk to my parrot. Daddy's always right. Daddy's always right. Oh, I could do some crazy things with him, man. I reckon it'd be great. could be good company. It'd be entertaining. And, yeah, man, I'd let it out in the room and everything. Oh, I'll just let it freaking have the cage top open. It can just come out and go whenever it wants. Ah, it'd be great, you know. I could even put it on my thing when we go and do a live thing and go, ahoy there, me hearties. I'll have to get a pirate. I think my daughter's got a pirate hat. I'll wear that next time we go on with me little bird on me shoulder. Captain Hook. yeah, hook or crook, there's no doubt about it. But, yeah, they're adorable bird. So, yep, she sold me, man. I've been thinking, I've just come across, you know how you talk and you just, something just comes off the cuff. I'm just talking about it. And then here's someone on here that knows a bit about it. And, that's what it's all about. I love that. Things that you think are, you know. No, this is what I'm thinking. Oh, yeah, well, here's a suggestion. And I'm like, oh, wow, very cool, very cool. And a good size, something that's not going to bite your finger off. That's all I worry about, me earlobe and my finger, you know what I mean? So, yeah, they're very nice. 20 centimeter, 25, perfect size as well. Just, yeah, no hassle, man. And I'd train it. You know what I'd do to it, man. This thing would be like little Einstein. I should call it little Einstein or something. Nah, that didn't insult it. It was a bit of a plagiarist. What about, I'll look up my book of philosophy and my esoteric wisdoms and think of a name for it. It's a bit of a trip. But she said, don't call it anything like with an S for some reason. They can't pronounce it. So if I'd done some strong German languages like a V, something like I said, like Victoria is my name or Vincent, you know, whatever. So I just have to remember that, and I think I'll do all right, man. Ah, it'll be great. Look how excited. I haven't been this excited you've ever heard me for bloody since you probably even talked to me, you know. It's put some spark back in Oz, man, you know what I mean. And he hasn't even got the bird yet. Oh, I'll have to do a podcast today, I'll get it. Oh, I'll do a video thing on him. I might call it Little Diddums. Oh, that'd be a good one. Hey, Little Diddums. Go grab it on the cheek, you know. Little Diddums. Oh, man. Anyway, there's more to life than worrying about me, bird. Now, let's see where I was at before I got rudely distracted. Sorry about that. I'm starting to show some emotion and feeling, guys. We can't have that on strange days. That's for bloody shoe. I can only do that on outside of normal. Not on here, guys. Here we're stern and strict. You know what I mean? Ever listen to this from the X-Files?
Tad O'Malley has been making claims.
Claims about what?
You and everyone you know has a piece of DNA in your genome put there without your knowing it.
Put there by whom?
Well, that's the question of the day.
This is an internet lunatic. You're not saying you believe him.
Hold on, Agent Einstein. You're talking to a scientist.
Forgive me, Assistant Director. It may sound insensitive, but the suggestion is pure science fiction.
What I'm saying, Agent Einstein, is that the facts, as I understand them, cannot be discounted out of hand.
No one has the right or the ability to tamper with your DNA.
Unless we gave them that ability.
So you say they're tampering with our DNA, that they're able to shut down our immune systems by the addition of something to our DNA?
Yes, but I don't know how exactly.
Or how it's being triggered.
I don't know that either.
Or why it's happening now. What can we possibly do?
We need to act quickly.
You were right about that.
Well, I was wrong about the science. I was wrong about what's causing it. Dead wrong, in fact.
But it's clearly a widespread failure of our immune systems.
Through gene tampering. A virus within a virus that was put there through the smallpox vaccine. It's what these men are calling the Spartan virus.
CRISPR technology, guys.
What's wrong with the science?
Okay. The Spartan virus removes the adenosine deaminase gene from your DNA. It removes the ADA gene and your immune system will simply vanish.
Yeah, but I'm not getting sick.
It's only a matter of time.
Okay, so how does it work? How does the virus remove the ADA gene?
A process called CRISPR-Cas9.
RNA and a protein cutting genes at exact locations.
Exactly, but in this instance used as a weapon. The ultimate weapon.
Bloody hell.
The ability to depopulate the planet.
Bloody
to kill everyone but the chosen
by tampering with their DNA.
Through gene editing.
Why do such a thing and lie about it? Our own government.
Your own government lies as a matter of course, as a matter of policy. The Tuskegee experiments on black men in the 30s, Henrietta Lacks.
What are they trying to do?
That's the missing piece.
But it's not hard to imagine a government hiding, hoarding technology for 70 years. At the expense of human life and the future of the planet.
Guys.
Driven not only by corporate greed, but a darker objective.
The takeover of America.
Bang.
And then the world itself, by any means necessary, however violent or cruel or efficient. By severe drought, brought on by weather wars, conducted secretly using aerial contaminants and high-altitude electromagnetic waves.
Yep, AMPs. Told ya.
To create problem, reaction, solution scenarios to distract, enrage, and enslave American citizens at home. With tools like the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act,
which gutting America, the Constitution, man.
In the name of national security. The gutting militarization it. Of police forces in cities across the U.S., the building of prison camps by the Federal Emergency Management Agency with no stated purpose, the corporate takeover of food and agriculture, pharmaceuticals and healthcare, even the military in clandestine agendas to fatten, dull, sicken, and control a populace already consumed by consumerism.
And I encourage you all to go shopping more.
A government that taps your phone, collects your data, and monitors your whereabouts with impunity. A government preparing to use that data against you when it strikes. And the final takeover begins.
The takeover of America.
Mm-hmm. By a well-oiled and well-armed multinational group of elites that will cull, kill, and subjugate.
Happening as we sit here.
It's happening all around us.
The other shoe waiting to drop.
It'll probably start on a Friday. The banks will announce a run. Security action necessitating their computer.
Friday, guys.
Digital money will disappear.
They can just steal your money?
Followed by the detonation of strategic electromagnetic pulse bombs to knock out major grids.
What will seem like an attack on America by terrorists or Russia?
An invasion of the U.S.
The Russians tried it in 47.
Bloody hell. Bloody hell. It might be theatrics, guys, but I tell you what, in my studies, there's a lot of truth in theatrics.
Two biomedical research papers.
See you later, Sue.
Every minute. To keep okay. up, health professionals will be spending time searching for evidence than applying it. That's why I'm changing it.
Study public health online. Bloody designed hell. By those who change it. Search Monash online today.
I wonder about the mestizos in America. Everyone talks about the black and whites and everything like that and all this shit. But if you think about it, the darker races come into white areas and then they take out the white people, so they piss off somewhere else. The place turns to shit. And then, but then the mestizos come into black areas and the black people leave. And turn it into some sort of cartel or whatever, you know what I mean? Or gangs and freaking crazy stuff. It's really weird how the cycle in America works in geographics, you know, like that. I might be wrong. I might be a bit off. But from what I've heard, that's how it sort of works. Yeah, man. Yes. I don't know. If they say that civil war is going to happen, I mean, even that they're influxing Chinese there now, and probably most of these are bloody intelligence agency sort of freaking freak shows. So you've got the higher intelligence of the Asians. You've got the white patriots, you know, like willing to die for their country, you know, that are bunkered and stored up food and all this other crazy stuff. Then you've got the locos, you know, like the mestizos, whatever, and they're like, yeah, man, Geelong, look, we just own the police anyway, man, you know, because they're already structured in a society, like, that's the beauty of Mexico. A lot of them are very family-orientated people, you know, but through media, drugs, and everything else, they've divided the white and black man up, you know, while you're getting highly cultured people coming into your country now. with communities of virtually a war machine, if you think about it, compared to us on different levels. Well, the whites and, you know, we're more, I mean, we're structured, yes, of course, but not as probably structured, family orientated. There's a big difference between so-called mates in the trench and family, you know. Makes you fight a little bit harder sometimes, you know what I mean? So, what a mixing pot, man. Then you got the Islamos, you know. It's just like, whoa. The future is just going to be. I don't think we're ever going to get over it. I mean, the evolution of even that process of that mixing bowl, that soup bowl of a country now. Same with mine. They just threw in things here and everything was going great up until the bloody late 60s when they decided to bring in an enriched country. It sort of changed its dynamics, you know, and safety and security. Not very nice when you can't even have your kids riding up the road without worrying about them. Yeah, something to think about, guys. Let's have a song. Let's have a break. Let's play a song for Robert. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my old man looks good. When they just don't go, when they go too slow. La 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 la. Ah, he's loving it. Look at him. I haven't got too many to choose from, mate. Don't feel too honored. Out of a whole room of 50 people, he picked me. Bloody hell. I feel special today, man. What a classic. Happy doing well, mate. You're welcome to call in anytime if you need to vent anything. Fine tonight. Ah, you bastard. Bloody hell. I'll have to talk to my budgie. I reckon you like my budgie thing, man. I reckon it's going to change us. It's going to turn me from a shallow man to a very deep, meaningful man. I can't wait. I'm going to become a god for sure. An Elohim, a mighty one. Oh, yeah, I'm going to excel myself. I've got to get this budgie, man. I'm telling you, tomorrow morning, I'm looking at, oh, actually, I won't even do it after this show. I won't waste time. There's someone out there that loves me that needs a home, you know what I mean? I'm full of love, man. I got too much love and I can't do it here on my own, you know? Oh, fuck, I burped. Don't you love silence sometimes, eh? Oh. Listen to that. That is beautiful. That is absolutely gorgeous. You know, overnight, I love it. Just that peace and quiet. I don't even listen to shows, you know, nothing. Just turn everything off and just enjoy that. Whoa, you know. I don't know how to explain it. But the problem is, this is really weird. When I lay down, I hear this swishing noise like someone's cooking something in the kitchen or like a shower sound. It's like, it's, you'd swear it was raining outside. It's like the light rain. Like, it is so bizarre. Every night, with even with a pillow over my head, everything, it's just like, apart from my tinnitus. But I hear this thing. But I heard this weird one last night. It was like a hum. It was going, it was almost like a washing machine with bass going, you know, or yeah, like a wash, an upright washer. Sounded like that, like, you know, when that spins around, so it goes, redigeridoo or some freaking crazy thing, you know what I mean? It blew me away. Blew me away, man. I was like, I thought I was actually having a pineal, what do you call it, activation. But there was nothing happening in the body, you know. I usually feel it when that happens. It was really weird. I don't know what's going on. But this noise every night, man, it's starting to, I'm changing the beds next week. That's why I'm trying to do me underlay and everything. And I'm going to sleep from, because they say, this might sound a bit weird, but they say that your head should be in the north, okay? I don't know if this is, you know, what studies this is from. And your feet should be in the south, obviously. North, yeah. And they say that's the best way to sleep and the best way to get the positive vibes and all these, you know, if you're into that earthly sort of thing. So your head should be facing, but my head faces to the south. So I'm thinking, I'm going to do an experiment and put my head, even though I don't like it, you know, my feet have been there for years, you know what I mean? I get a bit of spray and shit. So, yeah, I'm going to do an experiment. I'm just wondering if, because I never hear this noise until I lay down. Which is really weird. It's just like this. Turn things off. I've done all sorts of things. Even with the power out, nothing. It's just there. My friend says that it means that you're going to the next level, like in an evolution of spirituality sort of thing. But that sounds a bit woo-hoo to me, you know. No, it could be possible, I guess. Or they say, well, this is what they say in the woohoo community, that you're on a different level. You're on a different vibration, you know, to most other people. Which sort of makes sense because I am a bit woohoo like that. I can pick up on people within seconds, you know. When I see them, I can look at someone. Hey, welcome to the room, guys. Yeah, good to see us. Yeah, I don't know what you call it, what terminology they call that sort of person, an instinctist, I guess you could call it. Yeah, man. Yeah, I'll just keep rambling anyway. I've got something else to put on. I'm gonna play a song anyway in the background, guys, just for a minute, and yeah, just get my thoughts back together. So sort of, I think I went off topic a little bit. Because I'm a high empath, so that would make sense as well. Empaths usually have this sort of, I don't know if you call it a gift or a curse to some degree. It's a bit like someone's an artist, you know what I mean? Some people can do things. It's just a natural talent that empaths, I think, mostly would have. Let's have a little bit of a break.
Sunrise, she come with the dawning. Sunrise, come with the dawning, spreading all the light all around. Sunrise on the kangaroo paw. Sunrise on the kangaroo paw, glistening the dew all around. lighting up the hills all around. Sunrise come with the dawning. Sunrise, she come every day. Sunrise, bring in the morning. Sunrise, every day. She drive away the darkness. Every day, drive away the darkness, bringing back the warmth to the ground. Sunrise, oh, sunrise, oh, spreading all the light all around. Sunrise, bringing the morning. Sunrise, bringing the morning. Sunrise, bringing the morning. Spreading all the light all.
Principles and there's tactics all through life, guys. You got to go through different avenues, if you know what I mean. different avenues of life. You got to get a perspective of life.
I was made in the USA, in the land of the what, home of the what. It really don't feel like that these days. Y'all following sheep, I follow my gut. I will not comply with these mandates. Y'all do what they say, I do what I want. Better step up before it's too late. You know where to find me, I'm up in the front. But you turn on the news, it's useless. I feel like I'm about to lose it. I know the Biden had it clueless, but they know what the hell they doing. I'll never comply, I'll never comply. They gon' have to come and shoot me. I'll never comply, I'll tell them goodbye. And die fighting for the movie. What if people would've listened? You like the cost of living? How that inflation hit you when you make all that money, they gotta go spend it. How you disagree with my last song? How you breathe with that mask on? BLM was for the propaganda. Why kids culture ain't last long? It was all a distraction, just some manipulation through the media. Different channels, same narrative, same script they've been reading this evening. How the mandates been treating you? Still believe all that shit that they feeding you? We being ran like a communist country. What you expect? Just look at who's leading you. I make music for military-minded mother who ain't backing down. Why these crooked politicians caught a public only get confronted, not smacked around it? How the hell are y'all not in jail after all the evidence that's been found? When you're part of the plan and you push the agenda, I guess anything's allowed. I was made in the USA.
Well, welcome to Strange Days, Citizen. I can't see the rest of your name. Citizen Grip. Yeah, you're most welcome to call in and have a yarn. I'm down in South Australia. I don't think you've been in my room before. Hey, man. I know the Biden had it clueless, but they know what the hell they doing. I'll never comply, I'll never comply. They gon' have to come and shoot me. I'll never comply, I'll tell them goodbye. Die fighting for the movement. I don't agree with this. I know you seeing this. I know what freedom is. I know what scheming is. This ain't America. Look how they treating us. It's like the government really want people to stop. Epstein was executed in a cell where the Maxwell case was muted. Your favorite celebrities, you think it heavenly. Really ain't nothing but Lucifer's weaponry. Yeah. Welcome to Hollywood. Everything you never thought it was. You can have anything that you ever wanted. If you sell your soul, then you keep it anonymous. What are teaching y'all children in school? Obey what they say and follow the rules. Surrender your rights and it'll be cool. I will not comply, now what you gonna do? I don't really give a damn where I've been. Always something new, the people never win. Why they talking lockdown yet again? Who gonna really stand and fight until the end? Who really calling the shots and writing the words on Biden's little teleprompter? Telling him what he's telling us when he's messing up so they get him off. I was made in the USA, land of the what, home of the what. It really don't feel like that these days. Y'all following sheep, I follow my gut. I will not comply with these mandates. Y'all do what they say, I do what I want. Better step up before it's too late. You know where to find me, I'm up in the front. What you told the news is useless. I feel like I'm about to lose it. I know the Biden had it clueless, but they know what the hell they doing. I'll never comply, I'll never comply. They gon' have to come and shoot me. I'll never comply, I'll tell them goodbye. I'll die fighting for the movement. Yeah, I'm not sure the artist doesn't actually say that. Let me have a look. Burden will not... Doesn't actually say the artist. Don't like that. If I can play someone, I'd like to give him a bit of credit for sure. Bloody hell.
And all of this is absolutely normal.
Godfather of the European Union, Richard Kutanov Kalergi, published the plan for a united Europe and the ethnocide of the peoples of Europe. The encouragement of mass non-white immigration was central to the plot. Since then, an unholy alliance of leftists, capitalists, and Zionist supremacists has schemed to promote...
This is Nick Griffin. He roasts the European Parliament over the white genocide being carried out by the Kalergi plan. Yeah, guys, I've been talking about this shit for years.
Immigration and miscegenation with the deliberate aim of breeding us out of existence in our own homelands. As indigenous resistance to this human genetic modification industry grows, the criminal elite seeks new ways to camouflage their project. First, their immigrant pawns were temporary guest workers. Then it was a multiracial experiment. Then they were refugees. Then the answer to a shrinking population. Different excuses, different lies. But asylum is just another one. But the real aim stays the same. The biggest genocide in human history. The final solution of the Christian-European problem. This crime demands a new set of Nuremberg trials, and you people will be in the dock.
Bloody hell.
Mr. Griffin, there is a blue card for you from Mrs. Gomez, all right? Señora Gomez.
Mr. President, I'm really ashamed of the racist and xenophobic
terms that were used by Mr. Griffin, and my only question to him is if he's there to make any concrete suggestions and amendments to the legislation. Is your policy serious, or are you just shouting? And I hope you will not be re-elected if you seek re-election, because it's a shame for this parliament, the kind of statements you have just made.
Sir Griffin?
Mr. Griffin.
It's you that's shouting, because obviously the truth hurts. Yes, I will be seeking re-election. Yes, I hope to return here to speak up for the indigenous Europeans, which the founder of this place has deliberately set out to wipe out, because that is a crime. I'm telling the truth. I have a constructive suggestion to help those poor asylum seekers from Africa. Yes, make it clear they can't come here, so they don't try to cross the sea and drown in huge numbers. The best way for them is to get the banks off the backs of their countries so they can live in peace in their countries, and we Europeans can live in peace in ours.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it, Sir Griffin.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin.
Yeah, well, well, what a trip, eh? Bloody hell. Mass genocide, there's no doubt about it.
Have you got anything fresh to tell us?
Yeah, good afternoon to you, Mark. Now, look, we've just seen a whole group of people, about 60 people, being released from the...
Oh, that's an old one. Oh, yeah, that's an old one. They haven't got them quite in order. That was a couple of weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Well, it's it's at the 1 hour and a half there. Yeah, I wanted to end it there. So actually, I'm going to take it out. That'd be good. That'd be good. Good. If I can get back to the source of the matter. The cheesy source of the matter, if you know what I mean. Well, I hope you got something out of that. I did. I think it was fan-bloody-tastic. So I'll see you all on the next episode of Strange Days. Take care, all. Take care.